not everybody, I guess, to the ladies. Men, this isn't for you. No. Happy Mother's Day. So we're taking a break this week from our normal sermon series. And we may be taking a little break. I haven't decided yet. But we'll see. But we're not done with the book of Matthew, of course, as we have just broken into chapter 7. But we will finish up. I'm not sure when that will be. But today we're talking about mom and how wisdom is personified through them. Okay? If you want to turn, we're going to be in Proverbs 31. I'm not going to get there right away, but I do want to start off by sharing something I found online. So some time ago, someone collected the responses of several elementary age children to some questions about moms. And I thought it was fitting to share some of those with you this morning. And they did it by kind of category. So I have a few categories I'm going to go through and kind of give you their answers. And the first category they asked them was, why did God make mothers? And one kid said, she's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is, right? Okay. Another kid stated that, well, it's mostly to clean the house. And then one kid said, to help us out of there when we're born, right? Okay. That's a little deep, but we'll see. Another of the questions was, how did God make mothers? One kid said, he used dirt just like the rest of us. Then another kid said, magic plus superpowers and a lot of stirring, okay? And then one child said, God made my mom just the same like he made me. He just used bigger parts, right? All right, I got a couple more categories. So what ingredients are mothers made of? Was one of the questions. One kid said, God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and one little drop of mean, okay? And then another kid said that they had to get the start from men's bones, then mostly use string, I think. So, and then my last one is, why did God give you your mother and not some other mom? And one kid said, well, because we're related. And the last kid said that God knew that she likes me a lot more than other people's moms like me. So, moms are great, right? We can agree about that. In fact, when God wanted to give us a picture of what real wisdom looked like, he used the portrait of a wife and a mom, right? In Proverbs 31. You see, the book of Proverbs is jam-packed with wise advice, okay? And it has hundreds of short, pithy sayings that tell us what a wise person does to make his or her life go a whole lot smoother, right? We all like our life to go smoother, right? Proverbs is where you want to be at. But there's so much stuff there, that so much advice, that we can kind of get lost in the details. So at the end of the book of Proverbs, God brings it all together in a single portrait to help us see the nature of true wisdom. Okay? So, like I said, if you have your Bible, we're going to be in Proverbs 31. So if you haven't turned there yet, please turn there. So we're going to be in Proverbs 31. And Proverbs 31 is where we see wisdom personified, okay, in a mom, and learn what all of us must do to be truly wise, okay? So let us begin there. And I'm going to be starting in verse 10, okay? So if we want to be truly wise, then we must be worthy like a mom, okay? And that's my first point this morning. So Proverbs 31:10 says, who can find a wife of noble character? For her value is far more than rubies. Okay? So we must live lives of value, church. In other words, we must live in such a way that we're assets to our relationships and not liabilities, okay? We must find ways to give to those around us and not take away from those around us. You see, a mom's value, it says, is far more than rubies because she is a wife of noble character, okay? That's what verse 10 says. So literally, she is a woman of strength. She has strength of character that takes her and her family through the hard times. It's the same, this is the same word used of Ruth in Ruth 3:11. We're not going to look it up. I'm just going to kind of share a synopsis. But there when Ruth proposes marriage to Boaz, Boaz responds by calling her a woman of noble character, i.e. a woman of strength. You see, this was the same Ruth who earlier had determined to follow Naomi, right? Naomi's God, even if it meant leaving her family, her country, everything she knew behind to follow Naomi, her mother-in-law, right? It meant leaving her country, her people, and remaining possibly single and poor for the rest of her life, okay? You see, she had the strength of character to trust the Lord and take care of her mother-in-law, even at great personal sacrifice, okay? So that's kind of the picture of real wisdom. Wise people are morally tough like a mom, so much so that they are assets to people around them. More than that, they are trustworthy teammates in a relationship, okay? And they can be counted on to help, not hurt their relationships. So if we continue on in verse 11, it says this. It says, her husband's heart has trusted her, and he does not lack the dividedness. She has rewarded him with good and not harm all the days of her life. You know what? She makes her husband look good, right? I know my wife makes me look better. If I look at pictures, I live in the Facebook generation, so my life's kind of on Facebook. I can look at pictures before I met Mel, and I look so much better once I met her, right? And she's in there with it. She just kind of brightens the picture. She makes husbands look good, right? And she does him good and not evil. In other words, she's an asset to her husband, not a liability. She's his teammate, not his opponent, okay? She doesn't belittle him. She doesn't berate him. She doesn't laugh at his expense, okay? She's on his team doing whatever she can to help him be his best, okay? Someone once said, behind every great man is a greater woman, right? Someone he depends on, right? Someone he can trust. There's a story about in 1996, during the Summer Olympic Games in Atlanta, Georgia, there was an 18-year-old gymnast named Carrie Strug, and she showed the same spirit of teamwork. You see, as the team competition continued near the end, Carrie was up last on the vault, and she needed to nail the vault in order to win gold for USA over Russia. But on her first attempt, she kind of misstepped and she hurt her ankle. Well, she understood that it was up to her for them to win gold, so she decided to give it one more go, okay? She decided to give it one more go with the risk of hurting herself even more. Well, on her second attempt, she managed to stick the landing before collapsing in pain. But you know what? She secured the gold for the American team, right? She was an unselfish team player whose personal sacrifice kept her from the individual games, which she was the favored person to win those games. She was unable to compete in those games. She sacrificed that for the team. She put the team above herself, right? And that's what a wise person does. They're an asset to those around them, living lives of value as morally tough, trustworthy teammates, right? And if we want to be truly wise, then we must do the same, correct? So first, we must be worthy like a mom. Second, though, if we want to be truly wise, we must also work hard like a mom, okay? We must put forth the effort. We must labor and toil to make a difference in our world, okay? You see, a wise person, like a mom, they work hard, okay? Proverbs 31, 13 through 15 says this, "She sought out wool and flax, then worked happily with her hands. She was like the merchant ships. She would bring in her food from afar. Then she rose while it was still night and provided food for her household and a portion to her female servants." This mother is preparing food and clothing for her family, right? We also see that she tends a garden, buying it, planting it, and profiting it in verse 16 through 18. Let's read that. "She considers a field and bought it. From her own income, she planted a vineyard. She clothed herself in might, and she strengthened her arms. She perceived that her merchandise was good. Her lamp would not go out in the night." Okay? Now, her lamp would not go out in the night does not mean that she stayed up all night because the lamp was on. In Bible days, lamps always burned in the house. They always had a lamp burning. They didn't sleep in the dark. The only times a house didn't have a lamp burning was if it was deserted or the occupants were deceased. And so mothers were always aware that that lamp was burning for its family, right? But this mother's hard work pays off, we're going to see. You see, she makes a profit and her home is secure. Okay? In addition to all this, she makes clothing from scratch. Verse 19 says that she extended her hands to the spool and her hands grasped the spindle. This woman worked hard just to make her clothing. Okay? She couldn't run down to Joann Fabrics and buy the material to make the clothes. No. She couldn't do any of that. She didn't have a sewing machine. She had to start with making wool, a whole lot of thread first, right? Then she had to weave those thread into cloth, and then she had to cut that cloth into what she was making. It was a process. She's making all her cloth from scratch, but not only for herself, she's making clothing for the poor. Verse 20 says this, "She opened her hand to the poor and extended her hands to the needy." Right? She's making clothing for the poor. She's making clothing for her family. And verse 21 says, "She would not fear for her household in winter because all her household were clothed with scarlet." That meant that she made them clothing of the highest quality, right? It wasn't just whatever she could make. It was the best that she could make. She didn't shortchange her family. She gave them the best. And she didn't shortchange herself either, if we continue in verse 22. "Because she had made coverings for herself and because her clothing was fine linen and purple." Fine linen and purple, that's the best you could do back then, right? That was the highest tier, okay? "She clothed herself in fine linen and purple, the most beautiful colors she could make, clothes she could make, sorry. Now, I hope you all know that I don't think it's a sin to dress well. I like dressing up. I know my wife likes dressing up. It's not a sin to dress well. In fact, here it's a sign of wisdom. It's taking pride in yourself, okay? And we all have a different definition of what dressing up looks like. But She made fine clothing for the poor. We see that. She made clothing of the highest quality for her family, and she made beautiful clothing for herself. And she made the kind of clothing for her husband that caused him to be respected in places of power. Verse 23 says, her husband is well known in the city gate and when he sits with the elders of the land. You see, the city gates were where the city leaders presided. That's kind of where they hung out, okay? It was there they made all the decisions regarding the legal and judicial affairs of the city. So you wanted to be invited to that group, right? You wanted to have a say in what was going on, right? This man's wife made it so he was presentable enough to be with those men. So she's making good clothes for her husband, herself, her family, and the poor. Then on top of all that, she's making good clothes to sell. Verse 24 says that she made linen garments, then sold them, and traded belts to the merchants. This mom, she worked very hard to make all this clothing from scratch to feed her family, right? Now, most moms, at least moms that I know, they don't make their clothing from scratch anymore. Okay, that's not something we do in a society anymore. But they still work very hard to take care of their families. Amen? There's a story about a hungry boy, and at the end of the day, this 15-year-old boy found his mother in bed and was suddenly seized with fear or with concern. And so he asked his mom, he said, "Mom, are you sick or something?" And his mom said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I'm not feeling too well." Well, the boy replied saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, Mom," with a frown kind of on his brow. And he was sad. But after a brief pause, he then added this. He said, "Well, don't you worry, Mom, about dinner. I'm getting pretty big now, and I'll be happy to carry you down the stairs to the stove." Okay? It's funny, but that's what moms do, right? That's what moms do. They work hard whether they feel like it or not for the most part, right? That's something I can't say about men, or at least something I can't say about me. I'm basically 90% worthless when I'm sick. I can't do anything. But moms work hard. You see, this is a picture of true wisdom at work. And if we want to be truly wise, then we must to work hard like most moms, okay? Somebody else once said this. They said, "The only place where success comes before work is in the dictionary," okay? Every mom knows this. That's why they work so hard to see their family succeed, okay? So if we want to truly be wise, then first we must be worthy like a mom. Second, we must work hard like a mom. And third, we must live well like a mom. Okay? See, we have to live well like a mom, which means that we must walk a holy walk, trusting in the Lord. Okay? We must be godly men and women. You see, wise people, like most moms, have strength of character. If we pick up in verse 25, it says this. It says, "Her clothing was strong and splendid, and she laughed at the time to come." You see, this mom not only clothed herself on the outside with fine linen, she also clothed herself on the inside with the ability to withstand great forces against her, right? And an inner beauty that instills awe and respect, okay? She also didn't worry about the future, it says. Instead, she laughs at it because she is trusting in the Lord, right? Story about an earthquake that happened several years ago to a small town, and the residents there were very afraid. But there was one older lady who they all knew, And she was surprisingly calm and joyful. And after a while, one of her kids came up to her and asked her and said this, said, "Mother, aren't you afraid?" And she replied, she said, "No, I rejoice to know that I have a God who can shake the world," right? I wouldn't think about it like that. But that's what is living well. She's focusing on that positive, right? Wise people like this old mom have strength of character. More than that, wise moms have words of wisdom, okay? Verse 26 says this. It says, "She has opened her mouth with wisdom, with loving instruction on her tongue." Wisdom here is the skill of living well. And loving instruction in the Hebrew is the law of loyal love. In other words, this mother teaches her children how to live godly lives. She teaches them to love God and to love people, which is the foundation of God's law, right? That's what wise people do. Through their words and their actions, they teach the law of love. They live well with an inner strength of character. They live well with words of wisdom. And like most moms, wise people are diligent and attentive. Verse 27 continues by saying this. It says, "Watching over the ways of her household, she would not eat the bread of idleness." Okay? There's no amount of sloth or laziness found in this portrait of a mom. Okay? She's constantly attentive to the needs of her family. She lives well with an inner strength of character, right? She lives well with words of wisdom. And she lives well with a diligence that keeps her and her family safe and well supplied. Church, if we want to be truly wise, then we must be like that mom, right? So first, a little recap. We must be worthy like a mom. Second, we must work hard like a mom. And third, we must live like a mom. Okay? Then and only then can we find honor like a mom, okay? And this is my last point for you this morning. We will be praised and we will be respected, okay? Let's finish up Proverbs 31 together. So it says, "Her children have risen and called her blessed. Her husband also has praised her. Many daughters have done valiantly, but you have surpassed them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is fleeting. A woman who fears the Lord, she makes herself praiseworthy, giving her credit for what she has accomplished, and let her works praise her in the city gates." This mom is praised by her children, right? She's praised by her husband. He thinks she is the best of all women. Can I get an amen, men? That sounded weird. Men, can I get an amen? Amen, right? She's the best. My wife's the best. We could go at this all day, Dale. No. And she's praised by the leaders at the city gates, respected at the highest levels of society. Is it because she's beautiful? No. Is it because she's so charming? No. She may be both of those things, but verse 30 makes it very clear. It says she is praised because she fears the Lord, right? In the context of Proverbs, that means she knows and trusts the Lord, with the result that she lives in obedience to His word, right? This is the secret to everything else, okay? This is the secret to being worthy. It's the secret to working hard. The secret to living well. The secret to finding honor. In church, that is our relationship with the Lord that makes all other relationships right. Okay? It starts with us and God, and then it goes from us to everybody else. You got to get that relationship good first. As I close this morning, I want to ask you, are you truly being wise? Do you have that in you? If you're not, then just focus on a mother you know. Work hard like them. Live well like them. Find honor like them. To put it simply, trust and obey that mother's God, because that's what they're doing. As Mel comes up, got one last story for you. So a teacher had been teaching her class about magnets, and she gave them a quiz, a one-question quiz. And the question was this. It said, my full name has six letters. The first one is M. I pick up things. What am I? When the test papers were turned in, the teacher was surprised that half the kids answered with the word mother, right? She goes above and beyond. She does what she needs to do. You see, mothers are touching lives in ways that no other will. I want to say thank you to those of you who are the positive impact on our children's lives and the helpmates to husbands everywhere, right? So moms, today is a special day for you. A day that we openly tell you that we love you, although we should do that every day. But today, we're going to do it for sure, right? See, your godly wisdom and your heritage has fortified our country by the way you serve God in your homes. Amen? Amen. So, thank you. Thank you very much for all that you do for us. And do me a favor, keep passing that on to the next generation so they can pass it on to the next generation, right? And this morning, we're going to do something special. I've got two assistants here in the front row that are going to help me, right? William and Wendell. You guys want to come up here? Okay. Okay.